Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, shit. Okay. Now, remember last night when I said that, they didn't give us our 90-second warning when it was the end of the show. Remember I said that last night? I think that when I turned the volume down last night, that I pushed the button to turn it off because the volume button is also the on and off button. So I think that's what happened last night, but we got it together. Everything is going to be all right. Tonight on this Hump Day Wednesday night on the Daily Go Get-Em-ism show, we are talking about men with feminine energy, women with masculine energy. Now, we may all experience a little bit of this ourselves, personally. You know, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with one or the other or having one or the other. I'm not saying that anything is wrong with that. But you can accept or reject whatever you want to accept and reject in your own personal life. At least that's what they tell us until you allow your personal life to be expressed. You know, as long as you can feel the way you want to feel, you can say what you want to say, as long as you don't actually say it to a bunch of people and have any type of influence or hurt anybody's feelings. And you know how easy it is to hurt somebody's feelings nowadays. But you hear a lot of criticism from people who have divorced from people, who have broken up with people, who have stopped being friends with people, and things like that. You hear a whole lot of very candid criticism about the way that they used to be when all goes bad. When it all goes bad, then people start expressing the way that they probably felt the whole way. Did they really feel this way the whole way? I don't know. But we're going to talk about how it plays out after the storm passes over. And also, you know, what it is when it comes to our preferences. Because we're supposed to have preferences out here in this world. You know, we're supposed to be able to choose what we like, and we're supposed to be able to like what we like. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that's the real gift of this society. But we're going to take a look at it. We're going to get into it. We're going to get into it and get involved, these puzzle pieces. Right now, we going to solve, y'all. So what's going on, man? How y'all feeling tonight? Stacey White, Carol Chamber, Lemmy Favorita, T. Carey Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your site. What's going on, y'all? Men with feminine energy. You hear a lot of women talk about when, you know, when they was with their man, you know, how he had a lot of feminine energy that she ignored while they were together. She ignored a lot of his feminine energy when they were together. My question every time I hear a woman talk about how their man used to act like a little bitch, like how he used to act like a bitch. My question to her is always, well, were you attracted to that while y'all were together? Were you okay with his feminine energy that he was giving out when everything was good? When y'all were happy together, when y'all were laid up, stayed up, prayed up, when you were laying on his chest or he was laying on yours, when y'all was Netflix and chilling, when y'all were exchanging money, gifts, favors, and all of that kind of stuff, was his feminine energy a concern for you? Because I'm wondering how you wound up being linked up with a man who had feminine energy that you would criticize later on after everything went bad. I always wondered, like, what's up with that? I mean, there are a lot of men nowadays, in my opinion, this is my personal opinion, maybe it's just the opinion of me, maybe I'm looking at something through limited narrow lenses or something like that, but it seems to me like a lot of men out here have too much feminine energy. I'm seeing all kinds of crazy stuff, especially in the media. You know, you have these entertainers out here, these male entertainers out here, you know, they're carrying purses. They're wearing skirts, dresses, makeup. You know, they're doing the most. To me, they're doing the most. And a lot of them, you know, they talk a little limp-wristed. You know, I mean, literally talk limp-wristed. You know, this, you know, one entertainer, like the boy Drake, the rapper, I've always, every time he talks, I'm looking around the room like, so am I the only one who sees this guy? And then I have to remember that Drake was an actor before he was a rapper. He was a child actor. He was a child actor. So I'm not saying that all male child actors act a little soft, but in that industry, in the entertainment industry, children are not going to be encouraged to act like little boys or hyper masculine. And hyper masculinity, that's a term that I was not familiar with before I got accused of being that, hyper masculine. Basically, it's what your grandfather would consider a man to be, a man's man. Boys wear blue. You know, they carry all the heavy loads in the house. When women don't install, you know, I don't know, washers and dryers and bring in refrigerators and stuff like that. You don't have a woman, you know, risking her health doing that. The men do that. The boys in the family do that. A hyper-masculine male may believe that there are jobs specifically that only men should do and jobs that specifically only women should do. And they may sound a little misogynistic. They may sound a little chauvinistic. Honestly, I don't have a problem with men being a little chauvinistic. But, yeah, they say that's what hyper-masculinity is nowadays. So I don't know, you know, but... Yeah, I from what I see, a lot of men out here just are a little bit soft. But society and the entertainment industry embraces this. They do. They embrace this stuff. They say that it's all right. It's all right for a boy to be a little soft. He can be a little cottonelle. But if you charge him or bring light to the fact that he acts like a little punk, now you have to define what being a punk is, and you're the problem out here. You're the real problem out here because you're the one who has these boys out here, you know, shooting and killing and hurting each other and acting a fool and being gangsters and all of that because of your hyper masculinity and your male energy expectations. I don't buy it, because when you talk about what real manhood is, when a real man speaks, people listen, because he's talking about real male, real positive male energy. He's talking about what a man is supposed to do. He's talking about responsibility. Not just with himself, but towards his family, towards his community, you know, his fellow man, making sure that certain things are put in place so people are safe, so people are protected and comfortable, and also prosperous. That's what I consider real manhood energy to be. And I don't see a whole lot of that. I see a whole lot of man purses. You know what I mean? Before, Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong about this. Before, the men used to spend their money buying their woman the purse, buying their woman the Louis, the Gucci. Now the men are buying themselves the Louis and the Gucci. Like, shoot, I'm getting me a bag too. And it's supposed to be acceptable because, yeah, this is where we keep the drug money. You know, the money in the Louis bag. I'm like, as much hustling and drug dealing that I've seen on the street, I ain't seen one Louis bag on the corner. I guess the Louis bag must be only for the dope dealers who sell weight, because I ain't never seen a dope boy with no Louis bag, no Gucci bag. It might be my location. Cherry, what's going on? Good to see you. You know what I mean? First time in 2023. We missed you over here. Good to see you. And Emily Dunlap in the house. I said it. Emily and my brother from another mother, Norris Hills, sit back, relax, do your thing, max and chill. Good to see y'all. So we're talking about men with feminine energy and women with masculine energy. I don't know. I live in the city of Philadelphia, and, you know, I might be showing my age when I say this, but I'm going to say, you know, honestly, Philly used to have some of the prettiest chicks if you talk to many of the performers back in the day, especially the rappers, they tell you, yo, you go to Philly, man, yo, chicks is all that. They ain't like that no more. They really not, because it's, like, now it's too much of this. Yeah, so, you know, like, and, you know, because I ain't the one to be, you know what I mean? And blah, blah, it's a whole lot. I'm like, personally, I don't think no man want no chick that act like that. I know I don't want nothing to do with it. Now, I know that when some women get upset, some of this can come out. Some of this, all this can come out because, you know, because I ain't the one and you know. Because there's a female way to do that, and then there's a male way to do it. Like the male energy part of it actually looks threatening. So I watch this mess, and I'll be like, and you watch all of these little reels and these little stories and stuff. You watch these chicks from Philly. I can always tell they from Philly because, you know, they got our accent, they use our slang and all that. You can tell. You know what I mean? When you're from Philly, you know how people from Philly sound. You might not notice it until you go out of town and then you hear somebody from Philly. You're like, yo, I recognize that. But now our stereotype went from the chicks that always had their hair done, looked great in jeans, knew how to dress, had mad style. You know what I mean? Didn't all copy each other and all of that. They went from that to, yeah, because I'm telling you, because these niggas and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. But there's a lot of masculine energy. Whether it's acceptable or not, that's up to you. It's up to the individual. It's up to the individual. I do believe that you can like whatever you want to like. I don't have no problem with that. I don't have no beef. I only have beef when you try to tell me what I'm supposed to like or what I have to accept. Because then we have ourselves a little debate there. I'm not going to say that we have a problem, but we definitely have a debate. Everybody should get a chance to have their preference. And whatever the reason for their preference is, hey, you got to eat that. Especially if you're not dealing with the person personally. Like, what's it to you? But that's what we're talking about tonight. What's going on, y'all? What's going on? Let me read some of y'all comments, see what y'all talking about. Carol says, so you just be messing up, huh? Listen, at least I wasn't trying to come on to the show. I wasn't trying to come on to the show. Because had I not, y'all wouldn't have heard the music, and then I would have said, yeah, Blog Talk is not playing the music. Y'all would have heard the mic, because the mic is good. But it would have just gotten a little weird. It would have got a little weird. Norris Hill says, being called a sissy was something what up? You didn't want to be called? What up, everyone? Oh, it's something you didn't want to be called. Okay. I think your fingers got a little loose there. Okay. All right. Carol says, as it was said in the past, you could go through North Philly and always pick a rose in the concrete. Listen, North Philly has always been stereotypically associated with crime and poverty. And I always thought that that was unfair. Sure, there is poverty and there is crime. But I have never been on a block in North Philly, and I haven't been on more North Philly blocks. I might as well be from North Philly. I've been so deep in North Philly. I've never been on a block in North Philly where nobody had nothing, where everybody was broke, nobody had a job, nobody could get anything, buy anything, have anything, or was about anything. I've never been to any block like that. Even some of the what I would consider to be some of the least progressive or the worst blocks. I'm like, everybody in the hood ain't like this. Shoot, there are plenty of two-parent families down here. There's plenty of working-class people down here. They just have to get lumped in with the so-called socioeconomic condition that's reported on the news all the time. So you had everybody from South Philly thinking they living in paradise. But when you go to South Philly, you like, oh, yeah? This is the creme de la creme, huh? Yo, Carol, how many times have you seen people from South Philly turn their nose up or flip their lip up when you talk about North Philly? They'd be like, oh, North Philly. I'd have heard it come right out their mouth. Oh, North Philly. Oh. And I'm like, oh, yeah? So over here in Point Breeze, this is just paradise over here, huh? Well, yeah. I tell you, the Italians in those mob movies did a job on the self-esteem psyche of black people from South Philly. Like, anyway. All right. Carol says, as it was said, as it was said in the past, if you go to North, okay, I'm sorry, I'm reading the same joke. All right, Cherry says, I guess I'm old school. I'm used to a man's man. Yeah, that seems to be an old school way of thinking. You know, now they say that's almost bigotry. But you know, I'm not doing this show tonight to get into gay or straight and all of that. But there is a such thing as male energy and female energy, feminine energy, masculine energy. It's an energy. It's a feeling. You know, I mean, we can try to dumb it down all we want. It's not going to make it go away. You know, just because you close your eyes doesn't make anything invisible, especially you. Children have to understand that. Adults evidently have to be re-instructed about that too. Yeah, Carol says, South and West Philly both say it. You ain't never done lied. And I'm like, so I'm over here down the bottom, ducking shots and trying to get back home to the north side where it's safe. But, okay. Narcel says, for the first time in a long time, I met a sister with so much femininity that I tend to wear my heart on my sleeve when we cross paths. I hear that. Carol says, I'm afraid of the bottom. I'm just, hey, you know how to, you know, especially when they had the projects down the bottom, you know, it was, a lot of these areas in Philly had North Philly energy, but North Philly got the blame for everything. The news always, I swear, West Philly. All right. I see we have some callers on the line. We have a couple of callers on the line. All right. So, both of the callers have requested to speak, so I'm going to take the callers in the order that they requested to speak. So, caller with the last numbers 4828, welcome to the Daily Go Get'emism Show. Thank you for holding. What is on your mind this evening?
Hello. I'm just listening in, and I noticed that when you were defining masculine energy, you were actually describing masculine mannerisms, not necessarily energy. Like when I think of masculine energy, I think of logic versus emotion, you know, someone who might be a little bit more domineering rather than submissive. Think of when I think about masculine energy.
So
like masculine energy is not necessarily how you dress or you clap in your hands. Those are mannerisms. Like energy is more than that. And you did say a few minutes ago that it's a feeling.
Okay. So if a man is dressed, I don't know, in form-fitted stuff and maybe has a high-pitched voice and is carrying around a purse, that's not feminine energy. That's just...
No, that's the mannerisms.
Okay, but I disagree. I totally disagree. Because
he's trying to fabricate feminine energy by utilizing feminine mannerisms, but it's not feminine energy.
Well, why am I feeling it then?
Because you truly have masculine energy. And so that goes against what you have naturally.
Okay.
But
so,
it doesn't,
all right.
It doesn't lend validity to what they're trying to do. You understand what I mean?
All right. I'm going to give you an extreme example that people tend to ignore. Remember when on the show Martin, you know, he would do characters, and one of the characters that he did that was really popular was Shanae-Nae. You know, so mm-hmm. Shanae-Nae had the long nails and the long braids, and she was and I always looked at this, and I always thought to myself, like, that's a funny thing about this, because He's supposed to be acting like an over-the-top woman, but most women that I know don't act like that. So was that feminine energy that he was supposed to be giving off, or what was it? Because that wasn't feminine to me.
No, it wasn't feminine. However, I'll say this about Martin. My opinion about Martin Lawrence is that he himself has a certain level of actual feminine energy. I've always felt like that. I've seen him live. He's always given off a little bit of a feminine energy anyway.
I'm sorry? With that. I've seen him in person too, and I actually agree with that. That's another one of those things that I looked around the room like Will Smith, same thing. I'm like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, him too.
Okay.
Him
too, I guess from day one. The camera is running and the tickets are being sold. It's all good. But all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, those two are definitely agree that they naturally, you know, the men themselves have they do have a certain level of feminine energy. But no, his character was supposed is a character. It was supposed to be exaggerated, ghetto, you know, portrayal of urban black women.
Okay.
But again, he was using exaggerated feminine mannerisms.
Yeah. That's not my kind of comedy. But I get
mm-hmm.
it. But, you know, to some people, they may agree that was definitely female energy, because no man would act like that. And the only reason that he was acting like that was because he was portraying a woman on the show. But I'm thinking, like, how maybe it wouldn't be funny, or maybe it would be extremely difficult for him to portray a woman the way a woman really is. You know what I'm saying? Because there have been movies where they have gone for that. Like, I don't know if you remember this old movie with Dustin Hoffman in it called Tootsie.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
you know,
that.
You understand
that
what I'm
saying?
That
had a lot of feminine energy. That had feminine energy in it, that movie.
You understand what I'm saying? So, you see, on the white side, they can pull it off. On the black side, you have Martin Lawrence again, or Eddie Murphy doing Respucia. What's her name? Or in Norbit, what is it? Respucia? What's her name? Oh, something like that.
Well, it was Norbit, but you're still talking about a man who's been caught with a transsexual. Talking about Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
Feminine energy already there.
I'm just giving examples that most people will be able to relate to because they've seen it. You know what I mean? Whether it's the best example, I can't say, you know, but I want to make sure that we have examples that people can point to, because when you think about how black people are supposed to or are expected to give off the portrayal of this energy, you see the clear differences, like a Madea, Big Mama's House.
How about Tu Huang Phu?
Nah, I'm sorry, Mom. We ain't doing that.
No, I mean that movie had so much feminine energy that people talked about forgetting that they were men when they were watching it.
All right. Okay.
If we're talking about feminine energy, it was more than them just dressing up in women's clothes and putting on makeup.
Okay.
They were really, really into it.
Well, I mean, hey, listen. You know, we can debate about the parameters of what the energy is or state our opinions, or the difference of opinions about what the energy is. Regardless, there's going to be a certain feeling that you get when you are assessing whether these people that we're talking about or these situations that we're talking about are masculine energy or feminine energy. You know what I mean? We could debate about exactly what the definition is, but you either agree with it or you disagree with it. And you either prefer it or you prefer to reject it. And that's basically what we're talking about tonight. Men with feminine energy, women with masculine energy. You know, I've heard it said that men accuse women of having masculine energy whenever women check men on their misbehavior. You know, when women are calling men on a BS, and when they are accusing them or indicting them for not taking care of their kids or whatever, or getting on them about not being there, taking care of their responsibilities, not giving up the money that they're supposed to be giving up and all of that, or just acting like a little old bitch. But like I was talking about in the beginning, the question I always had was it okay when y'all were together? Because I don't see how when far, far away from when y'all break up, that's when it all comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That always seemed very strange to me. And it seems a little one-sided. I don't know too many men that I've heard, or any men, that say, yeah, I mean, one thing I couldn't stand about my wife or my ex was that she act like a dude. She act like a straight dude all the time. I never heard a man say that. I'm not going to say that no man has ever said it, but you can best believe that I would put money on that he told her that when they were together, if that was the case. They didn't wait until they broke up. Like, yo, why are you acting like a dude? But then again, when did she start acting like that? Was it before they got together? Did he think it was cute in the beginning? You know, was it? Maybe it was. Maybe it was.
Yeah, my son's father is like that. I have masculine energy, and he was attracted to it.
Okay. Now,
yeah.
Why do you say that you have masculine energy? And what was his attraction to in your opinion?
Well, I have, because I play sports, so I have some, especially back then, more so back then than now, but I had like certain masculine mannerisms as far as the way that I move because I play sports. I'm usually pretty assertive during conversations. More logical than emotional when discussing things.
Okay.
And so a lot of the guys throughout my life have always been attracted to that.
Okay.
But my son's dad specifically, you know, made mention of it.
Okay.
And categorized it as masculine.
But he did make mention of it.
Yeah, he did. Other women have as well.
Okay. All right. So, what does that say to you? Like, how did that make you feel? Like, does it matter? Do you agree with it? You said yourself that you do have masculine energy. What's your comfortability level with that?
I've always known it. So, but I'm not, my comfortability, I'm comfortable with it unless it gets to the point where somebody forgets that I'm still a woman. Yes, I have some masculine energy, but I'm still very much, a woman. So don't, like when you're interacting with me, you can't forget that fact. So I find that women who do have masculine energy, a little bit, not overly so, because I think some of these women out here putting on a front, but women who tend to have a little bit of masculine energy are kind of overlooked when it comes in, when tenderness comes into play. When you're talking to them, sometimes people feel like they can just blurt out anything in any old kind of way. And that's not the case. Almost like, you know, you don't have feelings just because you're not overly emotional. They forget that, you know, that you still have emotions.
Okay. Okay. Hold on for a second. We have another caller on the line. I'm going to make sure that we get him in before it gets too late. Caller with the, just hold on, hold tight. Caller with the block number. Welcome to, wait a minute, hold on. Make sure I get him in here. Okay. Welcome to the Daily Go Get-Emism Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this evening?
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you again for your very thought-provoking discussion. And I'd like to add a couple of thoughts to the conversation. I think that there are fundamental and transcendent universal truths that once upon a time, in a dim living memory past, were accepted largely without question, but today they're under constant and relentless attack to the point that to voice them, just to voice them in many circles, amounts to virtual heresy against this almost lunatic prevailing progressive woke orthodoxy. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Now, just the other day I watched a video on YouTube, and the interviewer was questioning a series of women on the street, interviews, getting a bunch of on-street interviews. And to a woman, they all professed astonishment. I mean that word literally, astonishment at the notion that men are physically stronger, can project more physical power and speed than women, and consequently can demand higher salaries than women in the same athletic professional endeavors. They were absolutely astonished. And, you know, and this is not the only fundamental aspect of human nature vis-a-vis men and women that is under attack. But to see it so blatantly questioned by women who are clearly college educated, undoubtedly, and to believe this made me think about things, it really made me alarmed. I think the most profound distinction amongst human beings are certainly not racial, and or even cultural, even though culture is hugely significant and can vary significantly among human beings. But the real fundamental distinction among human beings is between the fundamental nature and the relative strengths and weaknesses between the sexes. And there are only two. I don't care what these people say. There are only two, male and female, XX chromosomes, XY chromosomes. Nothing else exists. Nothing. Nothing. Period. End of story. So why is this? Why is this going on? We got to ask them. Why do we keep seeing this popping up everywhere with such fanatical determination? And I think sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. I mean, this gender confusion and this strife is just one more manifestation of the concerted attempt by a legion of nefarious forces that is determined to fundamentally alter the nature of human society, civilization, and human nature itself. I believe that absolutely now. Once upon a time, if I had voiced the feelings I'm having now, I'd have called myself a conspiracy nut. But I no longer. I believe it absolutely. I believe we don't push back against this. And this is not the only front. Of course, remember, I said a forest. This is but one tree. But it's a significant one because these same forces said that in order to implement the new society that we all are supposed to want to desire, we have to create a new man, kind of like the Marxists and Bolsheviks used to say, we're going to create a new man, a man based on the notion of dialectical materialism. And in order to implement this, we've got to fundamentally alter human nature. And I think they're busily working at it now, particularly with the most fundamental of aspects among human beings, the distinction between men and women, because I don't care what society, where you go on the planet, the basic structure the basic relationship and attitudes of men and women is pretty much constant.
Now, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I really do. Because there's clearly an agenda going on out here. But with the agenda, we have to take into consideration the financial aspect of the agenda. Like, you know, we're in a cancel culture now, whereas if somebody, basically, if a performer such as a Dave Chappelle should come out and talk about the LGBTQ agenda and all that kind of stuff, then they can prevent him from being on TV, prevent him from having shows, prevent him from, you know, being able to sell tickets and market himself. So they're really only a threat to you when you are being paid by them. You're pretty much shielded as long as they're not cutting checks for you. But, you know, in show business, they have such a heavy influence. And in politics, they have such a heavy influence because they are the ones who lobby and they are the ones who pay for everything. They are the ones behind the money machine. So they can blow anybody up or shut anybody down that they want to with their media tactics. In your personal life, it makes me wonder how the acceptance or the rejection of this works. Because although I do believe that we're all influenced by the media in some capacity, when it comes time for us to come into our houses, close our doors, and deal with our families, our friends, our associates, you know, we're living this life in real time. So the opinions of the world or the machine can't always matter to us, but somehow it seems to be creeping in. So when we have a conversation about men with feminine energy and women with masculine energy, it starts to make a difference in the way that we are speaking, the way that we are we're viewing things, and it's making an adjustment on what we think that we're supposed to accept or reject. I don't have a problem with anybody being whatever they want to in their lives. They're living their truth, and I mean their truth, there in quotes, and that's fine. But when you try to convince everybody else that this is the way it has to be because it works for you, that's when I start having problems with it.
Well, I hope I'm not being misunderstood. I don't think that you really have said anything that indicates that you misunderstand me, but I just want to clarify. Human beings is individuals' fingerprints and DNA. So I readily concede the amount of variability in these elements of, because we all have masculine and feminine qualities, both men and women. I mean, you know, we're not, it's not like we're just a binary split in behavior and attitudes between men and women. There is a kind of an overlap among many things. I'm not talking about, I would just speak about the fundamental nature of men and women being fundamentally different. That doesn't mean, of course, there is an overlap between, because women can show strength and be strong and be emphatic and exhibit leadership characteristics and everything else, and men can be empathetic and they can be loving and compassionate and tender, and the things generally associate with more of a feminine side or flamboyant or whatever. Fine, now, I understand it. What I'm speaking to is things like a person can literally say, not that I have, you know, things that, you know, that lean toward the feminine, toward the masculine. They can literally say that their body parts are at odds with their mind. I think that is a sign of a mental disorder. I don't think that is anything that's in the realm of what you can call normal. I do believe that is deviant. It deviates from the norm because most people are perfectly comfortable with their sexual apparatus and their mental outlook on what that sex is. So it certainly is a deviant from the norm. But today we're being told to believe that is normal. And if you question it, if you dare raise the possibility that there might be something, a mental illness like any other type of mental illness, whether it's schizophrenia or whether it's psychosis or anything else, you are immediately vilified as being a, guess what, hater. And that's where my objections come in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you talk about what your attraction level is, you know what I mean? That's when we really get down to what you accept or you reject. You know, my focus is always, okay, so what's good for you? We can talk all this. And by the way, I definitely agree with you about the whole mental illness thing. I mean, to for you to be a boy, to be a male, Y chromosomes all day, or for you to be a female, X chromosomes all day, but you to honestly and truly believe and be promoted to believe that you are another gender just seems weird to me. Because in any other situation, just like you said, they would say something is wrong with this person. For example, if I don't have $5 to my name, I am poor. I am needy. I am dependent. I don't have any resources of income. If I ran around here talking about I was rich, I was wealthy, I have a bunch of money, and I own all of these things that I could never, ever afford, people would say that I was crazy. Like, this man thinks that he's rich, but he's actually poor.
I'm glad you raised that point, because now we're confronted with one of the more Orwellian aspects of this entire array of things that's confronting us. They simply alter language. It's like newspeak. We've always been at war with East Asia, or war is peace and freedom is slavery, or slavery is freedom, or whatever. All they do is just say it, and voila, it makes it so. I mean, it has this Orwellian, dystopian, fascistic quality, because there's such a regimented way to approach the insisting that you conform with thought. The thought police are on you everywhere, in every aspect of your words. They are making you self-police your very thoughts, even thoughts that are sincerely expressed, right, honestly expressed. They say, you've got to police your thought, because if you don't, we're going to call you out in the garbage. We're going to try to cancel you. We're going to try to destroy you. We're going to make you unemployable. We're going to eliminate you from polite society itself.
Yeah.
And that's what is so really chilling about it all. And it's in its opening stages. This stuff really didn't start till maybe 10, 12 in earnest. I mean, really in earnest, 10, 12, 15 years ago. And we are watching its emergence like some sort of metastasizing tumor out of a cancer. I mean, it's really, it's like the blob. Remember that horror movie, the old arm with the blob, the way it just spreads? Yeah, that's what it's doing. This kind of fascism. That's what it literally is. It literally is fascistic. Particularly, and I have no object. Look, I can understand homosexuality. I can understand it. I think it is a deviancy, but I understand it, that you have something that is akin to sexual attraction to someone of the same sex. I understand it, even though it's not possible to have sex with someone of the same sex. Sexual intercourse, by its very word, means it's got to be two sexes involved. You can't have sex with someone of the same sex. It's impossible. You got to have two. Sexual intercourse means the intercourse scene of two different sexes. But I understand how it works. It's kind of like maybe it's something that has to do with the way you were hormonally bathed in the womb during gestation. I don't know. Because many homosexuals are not effeminate. They're thoroughly masculine. You never think they were effeminate for a minute, or homosexual for a minute. They're thoroughly and conventionally masculine. They are just have this, I think, akin to sexual attraction to another male, or when in one case a woman to another woman. I understand that. The sexual dysphoria is a little bit hard to get wrap around, because you literally look at body parts and say they don't belong on me. Literally. And they have to be mutilated and altered into something that they were never intended to be by nature. That is like looking at your leg and saying it doesn't belong on you. I need to have it removed.
Yeah,
a healthy functioning leg.
It's very confusing. But I think that the way that it's promoted, the way that it's put out there, the way that it's supported, makes people who may have been on track to being sure about what they wanted or what they thought was right, now it's confusing them. Because everything that the law states, and I'm talking about universal law, I'm talking about like the laws of nature and the laws of science.
Yeah, natural law, you mean?
Yeah, the laws that cannot be changed or manipulated or anything like that. You know, now they are challenging our perceptions of what those things are. You know what
yes.
I mean? So you know, so black isn't black, white isn't white. What you describe?
But indoctrination is really the worst part of it. Look at what they're doing to our children in many of these public schools.
They are.
They are literally being indoctrinated to accept an inversion of reality in nature and biology itself. Indoctrinated with using the power of the state and the schools to force students to conform to this orthodoxy. That is the worst part of it.
That is the worst part of it. But there is a part that's even worse than that. What are we going to do about it? Because we're not going back.
As Shakespeare would say, therein lies the rub. Are we going to just supinely lay back and accept it? Or are we going to raise a vigorous objection to, up to, and including the political, cultural, and social leaders who advocate for it at the point of a bayonet almost?
Well, the real problem is that, like I said, we're not going back. But I see the biggest challenge being that we're going to have to try to prove that what was once concrete, right, and unchangeable isn't changeable. That's the problem that we're running into with our children. You know, with our children being indoctrinated into this, I'm not gonna blame it on being homosexual, but with it being so malleable, with it being so interchangeable, with it being so free. Because one of the problems with freedom is that it actually gives you a problem with making a choice. You have so many choices that you have a problem making one or standing on something, because anything that you stand on is able to be challenged. And there's nothing wrong with it being challenged, but now it's being challenged to the point where it makes you think that your own thoughts are wrong. So it's like a form of terrorism to me. It's a form of what they call gaslighting, making you think that the things that you think and the way that you feel is totally invalid. I want to thank both of the callers for calling in tonight. I really appreciate y'all calling in. I wish I had more time to spend with y'all and bust it up, because I really appreciated the conversation and the dialogue. I'm gonna say this before we get into these birthday shout outs. I'm gonna say this. My focus is always how do these things affect you, the individual? How do they affect the individual? You know, whether you are attracted to men with feminine energy or women with masculine energy, that's a choice for you. You know, just like anything else in life, you have to put your likes and dislikes on a scale, and whichever side is heaviest is what you're probably going to go with. Sometimes we like things or accept things inside that we don't accept in public. It's called privacy, and it's okay. It's okay to like what you like. It's okay to go for what you like, as long as it doesn't negatively affect other people. Like, it doesn't put them in physical or any type of emotional, well, I'm not going to say emotional harm, because it's just too easy to hurt people's feelings out here. But as long as it doesn't put anybody in serious physical harm, and it doesn't violate certain moral standards, you know, such as, you know, things dealing with children. I'm not going to stand here and say, well, it's okay for you to be 30 years old and be attracted to a 13-year-old. No, I'm not co-signing that. We're not doing that. That's why I say, you know, we can't have a totally free society. This thing is already too much going on. All right, we're going to do these birthday shout outs. The last thing. Yeah. So whatever you choose for yourself, just be prepared to stand on that, because somebody is going to put it under scrutiny. You're going to have to give an explanation to somebody, even if it's only the person that you're attracted to or that you want in your life. It's going to require you to do some work, some mental work, some physical work. You're going to have to put that pain in. All right, let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. January 4th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Nick Johnson. I'm sorry, it's Nink. Nick Johnson, turning 47 years old today, and Nasir Muhammad, was actually Mahmoud Adam, happy birthday to you. And also Sheila Key, happy birthday to you. And Sudana Amara, turning 32 years old today, happy birthday to you. And Ann Thomas, turning 52 years old today. And Tiffany Queen Sexy Burton, turning 52 years old today. And Mildred Morris, turning 40 years old today. And Clarice Denise, turning 45 years old today, and Ty Nihon, turning 41 years old today, and my man, my brother, Marlon Prince, go get a Marlon Prince. He's talking about he turning 112 today. I don't know. I'm going to guesstimate his age to be somewhere around 55, you know, 55, 56, something like that. And last but not least, Georgiana Jacobs, turning 41 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all, and I hope that today finds y'all all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Shout out to all y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious January 4th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn, the rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours. And remember, man, listen, men with feminine energy, women with masculine energy, you can do what you want to do out here. You can feel how you want to feel out here. Once again, my focus is on what you want, what you accept, what you're attracted to, and how you're going to handle those things coming into your life. We're not going to be able to stop anybody from buying whatever they want, changing whatever they want to on their body or with themselves. You know, change is one thing that we can't stop. Many of us wish that we could stop some of the change that we disagree with, but we can't stop it. We have to live and let live. Well, have we made the decision about how we're going to live and let live with ourselves? Because if we can't even make the decisions that are going to govern our own lives, we can totally forget trying to govern the rest of the people or police the rest of the people that are around us. And that ain't even our job. So let's define what our jobs are. Stick to the script and make the best of it. Let's get the job done. I want to thank all of y'all for coming out and listening to the Daily Go Get-A-Mism show. Checking out the Daily Go Get-A-Mism show. I hope y'all enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoy broadcasting it. Peace out. Peace up. And shout out to the two callers that came in and everybody in the chat and everybody else. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with another Daily Go Get-A-Mism show. So this is what we're going to do. I said, this is what we're going to do. All right, Blog Talk, we're going to get you out of there.